This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It is said that gold isn't all that glitters. All that glitters is not gold. But what is it that might glitter just as much in the pursuit of world powers as gold? We hear a lot about how gold is being amassed in various countries, China, Russia, and so on. We hear a lot about how gold is, the price of gold is increasing, and how gold is so important and is a check against inflation. But what other things might actually command even greater importance and glitter in the mind and heart of world powers? We want to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and our viewpoint concerning this is and will determine destiny. The problem with this is that we have almost no information that's being provided by news media in America or anywhere else that actually will help us to understand what really is glittering in the eye of world powers, including China, including Russia, including the United States, including the European Union. What is it that is glittering in their eye? That is what we're going to focus on today, because it's going to give us insight as to what's happening and why with regard to the matter of Russia and Ukraine, and yes, even the interest of the Western world. So stay tuned, my friends. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation as Always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and you're listening to Viewpoint. You see, it's hard for us to have a viewpoint if we don't have the information. So one of the things that we try to provide here on this program is sufficient information so that we can have a wise and informed viewpoint or understanding beside what's going on. But you see, we've been told that the only issue with regard to Ukraine, with regard to Russia, with regard to the U.S., with regard to Europe, the Western world, the only issue is democracy. We were told that that was the only issue with regard to the upcoming election, or the election, with regard to the presidency and all the other offices, the federal offices that were on the table during this last election on November 5th. But is that true? Well, apparently not true, because in fact, those who were screaming our democracy the loudest are now quieting their minds and their hearts with regard to it, because they realize that wasn't the issue at all. It wasn't our democracy, because our democracy itself was not at risk. What might have been at risk, though, was the republic. As Benjamin Franklin said, "We have a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." Well, that's what was at risk, and that's what's being dealt with as Donald J. Trump continues to fill offices rapidly that then many of them must be confirmed by the United States Senate. But without going into all of those issues, we want to take a look at another issue which was equally, if not more, motivational with regard to the interests of Russia and Ukraine and America and the Western world. And you might just want to anchor your seatbelt to be prepared for what you're about to hear, because it's going to change everything in your mind and heart. Well, maybe. At least it might change a lot of things and give you some real food for thought. Because it's not just all that glitters is not gold, but things, oftentimes, the information that we have is not necessarily all the important information that we should have. You see, it's important that we have all the information. When you look at the Word of God, when you look at the Bible, it's important that you not just quote selective passages that you like to support some belief system or particular thing that you want to support. No, it's required of true followers of Jesus Christ to embrace the whole truth, not just the part that we like, not just trying to fit other things square pegs into round holes and round pegs into square holes, when in fact that's not what the Bible is actually teaching. We need the whole truth. And so we need the whole truth with regard to an issue like the Ukrainian and Russian issue that's invariably and deeply involved in the mind and heart of Western world leaders. So, we launch into the deep, friends. Before Russia's invasion in 2022, Ukraine exported more than 60 million tons of grain per year. That accounted for 10% of the whole global market. That one country accounted for 10% of all grain exports in the world. Ukraine was the world's seventh larger exporter of wheat, the fourth largest exporter of barley, and the biggest exporter of sunflower seeds. Now, that may come as a shock, but indeed, that is the fact. Now, Ukraine is exporting over 5 million tons of grain a month, much more than in the summer of 23, when Russia pulled out of the Black Sea grain deal. But the problem has not been resolved with regard to Ukraine. Ukrainian exports, grain exports, soared amid price shifts. So as of last month, exports are expected to decline now, especially wheat by 16% and corn by 25%. Why? Because the prices have soared so greatly because of Russia's attack on Ukraine that they cannot export and they cannot gain the sufficient income that heretofore they did before the Russian attack. So along with sharp increases in cost, the Russian invasion of Ukraine triggered a shortage of about 30 million tons of grain on the world market. In other words, about half. And Ukraine was a major supplier of wheat to the whole world. So, if you understand that, if we understand that, it becomes very significant that there might be some other motivational factors going on here. Maybe it has to do with controlling food resources. And if we can control food resources and the money flowing from it, then we can control the government because we can diminish the amount of money that's coming into the national coffers and thereby control the government. And having controlled the government, control the people and gain dominion over Ukraine. That once was actually the original Russia. Now, we've talked about that here on this program, but indeed, it is true. Ukraine was the original Russia. And if we were to go back and find that the origination of Christianity in Russia, it occurred in Ukraine in 988 A.D. 988 A.D. That's right, in Ukraine. But lots of changes have taken place since then. And now the next thing we look at is whether Russia and or the West are trying to plunder Ukraine's natural resources. Not grain, but natural resources.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I tell you the truth here concerning the matter of Ukraine and Russia and China and the U.S. and the great powers of the earth that are seeking to become involved somehow and for what reason in Ukraine. What is driving all of this? Well, we've just discovered that Ukraine is the seedbed, literally the seedbed, of a major source of the world's food supply. grains, wheat, barley, sunflower seeds, and so on. And now their production is cut almost in half. And the monies flowing from it have been reduced dramatically because the costs of production have increased because of Russia's attack on Ukraine. You can understand that. It doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure it out. But now we shift from grain, and we shift into another realm, a realm that is perhaps much more powerful in terms of the seducing of the world powers into Ukraine, the desire to control Ukraine. So Russia, according to one report, is plundering Ukraine's natural resources or intending to do so. So if you dig into the earth near the Ukrainian city of Dniprorudin, you'll hit one with an iron content of over 60% in the soil. Before the war, about 4.5 million tons of this high-quality ore were mined each year and shipped to Slovakia and the Czech Republic and Austria. Well, all that changed in the summer of 2022 when Russian troops occupied that city. Ukraine's highly coveted and strategically important natural resources are now being sent to Russia. Ukrainian, Slovak, and Czech investors in the mining business have had their properties seized by Russia. And metallurgy ore experts fell by nearly 60% in 2022 from 2021. This is a very big deal, friends. And gold, natural gas, oil, salt, gypsum, zirconium, and uranium are also present, as are coal, titanium, and manganese, all found in Ukraine. In other words, Ukraine is not just the seedbed feeding the world's hungry with wheat. Africa receives the majority of its wheat from Ukraine. But the country's largest iron ore deposit is found in one of the basins there that remains under Ukrainian control, and so do its processing combines. Yet this region is systematically shelled from nearby territories under Russian control, making it very difficult to actually mine the product, the iron ore. Moscow's political plan is primarily to destroy Ukraine's economic potential. And to do that, it doesn't matter whether you seize resources or destroy them through shelling. So the resource shortage was having dramatic consequences for Ukrainian steel production. You see, they're echoing consensus. You lose one thing and you can't do another. The coal, all of that. So while Ukraine exported almost 20 million tons of metallurgical products in 2021, that figure dropped to just 2.5 million tons in the first half of 2023. In other words, a drop of approximately 70%. So, actually, a drop of almost 80%. Can you imagine then the effect that this has upon Ukraine? Well, it also has an effect upon the U.S. Why is that? Or Europe? Because Ukraine is actually part of Europe, as is Western Russia, theoretically, but the massive amount of minerals that Ukraine has, just as America has a lot of natural resources, Ukraine has a disproportionately sizable amount of natural resources. And about 80% of Ukrainian coal deposits are located in Russian-occupied regions. All of Ukraine's anthracite, or black coal, which has a high energy density, is presently under Russian control. That means Ukraine has to import that stuff from other countries in order to be able to continue on with production. So seizing Ukraine's natural resources was one of Russia's key motives for launching the invasion. Using force to gain control of strategically important resources was a recurring theme in Russian foreign policy. Now, we know, if we think back in history, we know that this was one of the motivations of Europe going into various African countries. Why? To seize resources. Resources that were not otherwise available in Europe. It's still happening. And people will look at this and they say, oh, well, do you see how the Europeans abused Africa? Well, to a certain extent, it's true. Took advantage. The Africans didn't realize quite what they had. The Europeans were more advanced in how to get to it. And so they were able to access that. Africa gained advantage in terms of money, in terms of influence and so on. But the majority of the real revenues left Africa and went to Europe or other countries around the world. The same thing is happening now with regard to Ukraine. Some people will say, well, that's what happened in the United States because of slavery. Isn't that what happened? We imported the slaves. The slaves came in and they worked in the plantations and they helped the plantation owners develop, economic kingdoms there on the backs of the slaves, and therefore the production in the South in particular was largely due to the importation of slaves that came from Africa. Well, that's true. But the slaves were sold by Africans, and the Africans gained production. Those were products that came from Africa. The tribes of Africa actually resourced other tribes, defeated them, captured their people, and then imported them or exported them to Europe, to Arab countries, some to the United States, and the majority to the Caribbeans. That's what happened. So when we look at history, we find that this is not an unusual thing to take place. That nations, people groups, will do what they think they have to do in order to gain the resources that are necessary to help them to prosper, to become strong, and therefore to become prominent in the world. Russia, under Vladimir Putin, has that vision. Not only does he want to restore, in many respects, the fame of the former Soviet Union, but he also wants to gain dominion over much of the resources that are necessary to do that. It's not just a matter of gaining land. It's a matter of gaining land for a reason. Not just to complete the geographical boundaries of Russia or the former Soviet Union, but to achieve regather the resources, the minerals that are necessary in order to accomplish that greater agenda. So we find that seizing Ukraine's natural resources was one of, not the whole one, but one of Russia's key motives for launching the invasion. We haven't heard much about that, have we? It's all about democracy. Why is that? Because the people's hearts are not moved by talking about the other ulterior motives. Only democracy in the West, because that sells. But it wasn't just democracy. It's much more than that. So how about lithium? You know about lithium, don't you? One of the world's most sought-after minerals. How do you think all of these batteries are being made? How do you think the electrical, the cars, the EVs, how do you think those massive batteries are being made? Where are they getting the lithium in order to produce them? How about all of these tools that are sold to us and will be marketed to us increasingly during this season? You won't need to go to plug in your tools. You can have batteries that are rechargeable. What do they call those batteries? Lithium batteries. Where does it come from? Well, lithium is one of the world's most sought-after minerals because it's needed for your smartphone and car batteries and tool batteries, all of these other batteries. Well, Ukraine happens to have one of the largest lithium reserves in Europe. It's a state secret, in a sense. No one's going to tell you exactly what they have. But Russia has been eyeing two Ukrainian lithium deposits. So, lithium mining in Ukraine is expected to be more expensive than in South America or other parts of the world because of the geological nature of the deposits. Now, if you add to that the risks that are involved with combat with Russia, you can see how this is impairing Ukraine from prospering. It's also impairing the Western world from gaining access to lithium. Another product. Russia occupies three of Ukraine's rare earth deposits. Zirconium, uranium, but especially graphite and titanium. Graphite is used in battery production, very coveted. Two of Ukraine's graphite deposits are under Russian control. Yet the remaining four under Ukraine's control, and at one, mining is already underway. There's a great potential for Ukraine becoming a major titanium supplier. Today, the country produces 7% of the world's titanium, placing it in the global top five. So, all of that having been said, we can begin to see the motivations for Russia making its move in 2022 on Ukraine. It wasn't just to regain territory. It was the nature of the territory that was of interest to Russia. Those particular parts of Ukraine that were very lucrative in terms of not gold, but things that were more important to Russia than gold. Now, we talk about the invasion of Ukraine, about Russian identity, but securing natural resources is also a goal, a big goal. And we're going to focus more and more on this in the balance of the program here today. Now, I want to shift from that just briefly to move to Israel for just a moment. You see, one of the great desires of the world, the thing, what is it that makes the engines of production go round? It's oil. It's oil. Ukraine is not rich in oil. It's rich in all of these other minerals that are necessary for production, that are necessary for corporate success and so on. But what if oil becomes limited? Who's going to go after the oil? Well, again, the powers of the earth are going to go after the oil. I want you to think about this. We've talked about it before, but we're going to mention it here again as a corollary to the discussion with regard to Russia and Ukraine. What if Russia, being the second largest producer of oil and gas in the world, finds that it's in competition with Israel for oil and the price of oil? What if a discovery of oil in Israel dramatically reduces the price that Russia gets for its oil?
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today, we're taking a look in a very unusual way at the situation with regard to Russia and Ukraine. Now, we have devoted $180 billion to Ukraine's efforts to defeat Russia. Now, where that money has gone is somewhat of a mystery. We do know that a lot of that money has gone not for the armaments, not to finance the war, but to build up the retirement reserves for the people, their retirement plans. You heard that correctly, friends. You heard it correctly. So we've been financing this, but for what reason? That's the question that we need to ask. What is the reason? What's the motivation for the United States of America and our government to take $180 billion of your income, my income, to send to Ukraine, seemingly in the far courts of the corners of the earth? What's the reason? What's the raison d'etre, the reason for being? Well, we're going to discover that. We've already discovered a lot of it has to do with Russia and what Russia is seeking. Yes, the invasion of Ukraine is about Russian identity, but securing natural resources is also one of its premier goals. Now, before we get back into that, we're diverting to a corollary issue with regard to Israel. As we speak, Israel has discovered in the last 10 or 15 years massive gas reserves in the 50-mile area off its coast in the Mediterranean. That discovery of gas has massively changed the energy world to Israel's benefit. Israel previously had to import their gas from Iran and from Egypt and from Russia. Now, Israel doesn't have to import any gas from any of those countries, giving Israel freedom, not entanglement, but freedom from any power to be exerted by those countries over that issue. In fact, Israel has enough gas to be able not only for its own needs for the next 70 years, but enabling it to export gas. So it's changed the finances in the world, and particularly in that area of the world with regard to obtaining gas. But how about oil? It seems that all the oil reserves are maintained under either Russian control or Arab control. And since 20% of Russia is made up of Muslims, it's still in many respects under a form of Muslim/Arab control. And since Vladimir Putin has declared that he and Russia are going to be the guardians of the Muslim world, you can see how there's an inner entanglement between ethnicity, religion, and the flow of black gold. Oil is referred to as black gold. You see, all that glitters isn't gold. It may be wheat. It may be barley. It may be titanium. It may be lithium. It may be oil. It may be gas. All of these things are in play and are extremely motivational to countries and world powers. So what happens then if all of a sudden God does a little divine fracking there in Israel, causes some tectonic shifting there in that area that is so prone to earthquakes, and shifts just enough to release massive amounts of oil that geologists, petrogeologists, know already is under Israeli soil? What happens? Well, all of a sudden, the availability of oil is amplified dramatically. And the greater the availability, the lowering of the price in the world. So that would cause Russia and Iran and other Muslim nations to have a severe threat, from their perspective, a severe threat on their economies, their ability to project power, their ability to function. And guess what that will do? Create exactly the same motivation that Russia has to go after Ukraine for these natural resources. Please do not forget what I just shared with you. And to help you not forget it, I want to make available to you my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. Chapter 23 is called The Great Game, Black Gold and Global Governance. The subtitle there in that chapter is, the reality is that the nation that controls the world's energy supply controls the world. Are you beginning to see then how all of this works? It's not about democracy in and of itself. It's about many other things that are superimposed over democracy, but nobody wants to talk about the real motivation. In 2009, Russia became the world's greatest exporter of oil, overtaking Saudi Arabia. Then the United States took over and amazingly became the number one producer of oil and gas in the world, such that Russia actually issued a statement to the effect that America had become, in fact, here it is, the trembling over the future among Russia and her Islamic oil and gas cohorts has suddenly and shockingly now become global. The EU Times shook the world March 11th, 2013 with the headline, World Trembles as U.S. Becomes Greatest Energy Nation in History. The report was prepared by Russia's energy minister for Vladimir Putin. The United States, he said, is preparing to overturn the entire global economic system as it nears becoming the greatest energy production nation in all of human history. That was until Joe Biden took over. When Joe Biden took over, he reversed all of that. So when Donald Trump says, drill, baby, drill, he's talking about dealing with this very issue so that the United States will not be under the thumb of Russia as it was. Are you beginning to get the picture? Now, in order to understand the depths of that great game for oil and gas, I urge you to get a copy of my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. That's not the only thing that this book deals with. It's going to open your eyes to a lot of things happening in our world and why they're happening and how it fits in the greater picture of biblical prophecy so that you and I may more accurately understand what's happening. And so when we hear certain things in the news, we'll know that that isn't the whole truth. There are other things going on here that we need to know about. The book is an $18 book, and it's yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. This has been one of the most popular books we have ever offered. King of the Mountain, the Attorney, Epic, and End Time Battle. For it said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. So he who controls the energy rules the world. He who controls the Temple Mount rules the world. So he who controls the energy is the one that ultimately has the greatest likelihood of controlling the Temple Mount. Are you beginning to see how these things connect? On the website, saveus.org, King of the Mountain, $15. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. If you're writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. Again, you can go on the website, saveus.org, and get your copy that way. I know you're not going to be disappointed. I'm confident of it, 100% confident of it. It's going to open your eyes to an understanding that just basically is not available. All right, and that's not intended to be a braggadocious statement. It just happens to be a fact. There's nothing like it. All right. Now we go back to Ukraine. So the invasion of Russia, Ukraine is thought to have the largest supply of recoverable rare earth resources in Europe, even though much of it's undeveloped yet. Rare earth minerals like cerium, yttrium, lanthanum, and neodymium and alloys are used in many devices that people use every day, such as computer memory, rechargeable batteries, cell phones, and much more. And roughly 80% of Ukraine's oil, natural gas, and coal production reserves can be found in the Dnipro-Donetsk region, which has been a major focus of the Russian military's operations to so-called liberate the country. Are you beginning to get the picture? It's not just about Russian identity. It's about control of massive, much-needed minerals and rare earth deposits. The timing of Russia's military actions and its choice of territory to conquer is not a coincidence. Not a coincidence at all. This is what's happening. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends, because we're not finished yet. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and that's what we're talking about, our viewpoints on this issue.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The managing director of the Energy Industry Research Center in Ukraine, a research and consulting firm in Kyiv, said Russia's war against Ukraine came as the Eastern European country, Ukraine, tried to assert energy independence. The goal, he said, of the development program was to wean Ukraine off of imports of Russian oil and natural gas. So there you have it. Everyone believed that in 5 to 7 years of development, it would be enough to have Ukraine independent from Russia. So, Russia directed much of its coveted intelligence in Ukraine towards sabotaging the country's energy independence ambitions. Ukraine was getting set to issue more exploratory approvals in the region when Russia launched its invasion on February 4, 2022. It was not accidental, said this leader. It was not accidental. So, where do we go from here? Is the real motivation about uniting Ukraine with Russia as we know it? Or is that only a utilitarian, sellable motivation, whereas the real motivation or the greater motivation is not so sellable? Don't want to let us know. Don't want to let the world know what the real motivation is. So, if the real motivation, the greater motivation, has to do with gaining dominion over coveted resources essential to world domination, then it doesn't take, as I said, a Philadelphia lawyer or a rocket scientist to figure out what's really happening. Why it's so difficult to get any traction to resolve this issue. Maybe, just maybe, the resolution of the issue between Russia and Ukraine is not going to have anything to do specifically with territory. It's going to have to do with access and availability to these various resources. Now, how in the world that's going to play out is another matter. Because guess what? The United States wants to have access to those very same resources. And that may very well be one of the premier reasons why we have plunked $180 billion into Ukraine. So it wasn't just about democracy. It was about something far more, I won't say serious, but something that we didn't want to let the world know. It wouldn't sell well. It doesn't smell well because it's about power. Now, Ukraine is home to a vast array of critical minerals with an estimated value in excess of $26 trillion, making it a significant player in the global supply chain. So now we see that this issue with regard to Ukraine is not just about Russia. It's not just about America or Europe. It's about globalism. It's about the whole world. Ukraine boasts approximately 20,000 mineral deposits covering 116 types of minerals, including titanium, lithium, beryllium, manganese, gallium, uranium, zirconium, graphite, apatite, whatever that is, fluorite, and nickel. Ukraine holds the largest titanium reserves in Europe, accounting for 7% of the world's reserves, as well as almost 500,000 tons of lithium, a strategic element that contribute to meeting the global demand for batteries, power. So the strategic importance of Ukraine's critical minerals can't be overstated. These minerals, these resources, are essential for industries such as defense, high tech, aerospace, and green energy. And the demand for these minerals is expected to surge. driven by electric vehicles, renewable energy technologies, and so on. So, Ukraine's potential to supply these minerals is crucial for countries looking to diversify their supply chains and reduce dependency on countries such as China and other non-democratic regimes. So, think about this. The European Union and the United States have adopted strategies to leverage Ukraine's resources to bolster their supply chains, support green transitions, and aid Ukraine's post-war recovery. Ukraine has also begun auctioning exploration permits for minerals such as lithium, copper, cobalt, and nickel, offering lucrative investment opportunities. They're part of a broader strategy to drive Europe's green transition and support Ukraine's economic recovery. This is a very, very big deal, my friends. Much bigger, I dare say you have not heard about this. The so-called legacy media aren't going to talk about it. Fox News isn't going to talk about it. Newsmax isn't going to talk about it. So who is going to talk about it? Nobody wants to talk about it because ultimately it reveals motivations that we don't want to reveal. Motivations of the heart. Now, Ukraine's government and economy is keen to encourage American businesses to invest in its mining and processing industries. Why is that? Because Ukraine trusts the U.S. and its, shall we say, democratic system more than it trusts Russia because of Russia's alternative desires to glom onto Ukraine and merge it into Russia itself. On the other hand, what is the desire of the West? What is the desire of the U.S. with regard to Ukraine? Well, it's not to merge Ukraine into the United States, but it is the desire to merge Ukraine into NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And that is anathema to Russia. That's anathema to Vladimir Putin. Why? Because that sets up the Western world, the resurrected Roman Empire of the Book of Daniel, against Vladimir Putin's agenda. It puts the West, including the U.S., much too close to Russia's border. And that, he says, I cannot tolerate. So that was the reason that he promoted his attack in 2022 on Ukraine. But behind that reason were other great reasons that we're talking about here today on the program. This is not something unique to Russia. This is something that the U.S., working through Europe and NATO, which are mostly the same thing, are attempting to gain dominion over Ukraine by merging Ukraine into NATO as a democratic nation so that those resources now will be available primarily to NATO nations. What are the NATO nations intending to become? The new Western World Order. The World Economic Forum promoting it. 2030, the objective. Are you beginning to get the picture? I hope. In these last 50 minutes, I have attempted in an organized way to reveal both the facts and the motivational tensions, the oppositional tensions that are out there that are defining this issue. It's not unusual. It's like history repeating itself, except this time it's for the establishment and protection of a new Western world order, which Vladimir Putin now senses makes Russia the odd man out. So this war, because of the U.S.'s move to compel all European nations to join in a boycott against Russia and sanctions against Russia, it has then forced Russia and Vladimir Putin into the arms of China. They were not friends. And now they are, for strategic purposes, each having their own motivations. And together they have formed the BRICS nations, which is an alternative one world system, economic system, to compete with the rising Western one world order. I wonder if this isn't exactly what the prophet Daniel envisioned when he talked about the rise of the kings of the north, or the king of the north, and the kings of the east, ultimately, and the kings of the south, all coming together in their great battle for dominion of the world, and to become king of the mountain. Right there in Revelation chapter 16. Just throwing it out for your consideration, my friends. The real issue is we're living in the times that Jesus, his apostles, and yes, even the ancient prophets foretold. So the upshot of this is you and I can't control Ukraine. You and I can't control what's happening with Russia. You and I can't even control what's happening with our own government, which we have become well aware of. So what can we become control of? Ourselves. In other words, we need to pursue what Jesus said was necessary, what Paul said was necessary, Peter, James, and John, and that is prepare for the return of Christ, who will one day rule the world in righteousness. As the Apostle John said, he who has that hope in him will purify himself even as Christ is pure. In other words, we've got to get serious about our lives. That's why we say here on this program regularly, people get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be coming home. I hope this has been helpful. Tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, about the program. It'll be up on our website this evening. It'll be up there for probably a year. This particular program will help them to understand what's going on. They will want to listen to it. They will. If you present it to them properly, right there at saveus.org. Get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. The $18 book, yours for $15 on the website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. And, friends, become a partner. Many challenges ahead. Yep, finances are tight for everybody. Wait and ask what the Lord would have you to do. Let's get with the program.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.